this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
This year, 2025 is going to be one of the greatest years. And sometimes we just say that and it feels like a cliche, but I'm telling you, this year will be one of the best years that you've ever had, if you take a hold of all that God's got for you. Now, Galatians 6:9 is where we're starting. And once again, Chris and Ruth, thanks for the opportunity to be here. It's always a privilege. In any circumstance, to preach the Word of God, especially to our own tribe, C3 congregations all around the world. We're moving towards 700 churches, actually. Last year, we tried to start 22, but we ended up starting 48. And this year, we've got a goal of 42. And so we're underway right now, seeing churches just like this, starting everywhere. And it is an awesome thing. We got a lot of churches in the Middle East. We started one in Baghdad. And I get these messages from Richard Green, who's starting them there. And he says, I can't show you their faces. You can't post this. You can't put their names up. But there are hundreds of Muslims coming to Christ. Hundreds. He said, this church is seeing hundreds of them coming to Jesus. And I want to tell you that. Don't believe the press that says the church is in decline, or that we're in a post-Christian era, or that we're just moving, all these other religions are taking off. The fact is there are millions of Muslims in the Middle East who are having dreams and visions and coming to Christ. I read statistics recently that estimated about 3 million. And then in China, the underground church in China is the largest church in the world. There are connect groups overseas that have 2 million people in their connect group system. You and I are living in the church's finest hour. And God is wanting us to think bigger than we ever have thought before. Don't let the circumstances or the news, even the Christian news that tells you this stuff, don't let it drown your faith and start to limit what you can see in the future. Because the whole world wants to limit you and crush you and make you smaller than you actually are. But you're a Christian. Christians are big people with big attitudes, with big dreams, who think beyond themselves. And we have to actually to be those kind of people to take a hold of our promise, the promised land. Galatians 6:9 says, do not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart or we faint not. So this says you've got a due season. How good is that? Every one of us here have a due season. You have a due season. It's saying in your due season, you will reap a harvest. You cannot fast and pray without something happening. You can't go through trials without something eventually taking place. Without you coming through the trial, weeping may endure for a night, but in your due season, joy comes in the morning. Your trial isn't going to last forever. And God didn't send you the trial to defeat you or to destroy you. He sent it to form you into Christ-likeness. And he is dealing with you to expand you and to make it better. He doesn't send a dream to tease you, to say, hey, look at this, and then never bring it to pass. He has due season. And it doesn't matter how old you are. Come on, I'm preaching to myself right now too. It doesn't matter how old you are. There's still time. There's still time for the promise to come to pass. Even though Abraham's 100 years old, there's still time. You'd think it's over. How could that dream of having a boy ever happen now? Look at my wife. She's 90 years old. My Lord, I'm not going to tell you how old I am. But my wife isn't far behind me. And to think of her at our age having a baby, please, don't even go there. The poor thing, it'd kill her. Here's Sarah, my God. And I'm talking about the birth, but the thing is, here is promises that that Paul is saying to the Galatian church, in due season, your due season has come upon you. You will reap a harvest if you faint not, if you don't give up. And I think some people don't understand faith. They think, I've got faith that this is going to happen. And then it doesn't happen. And they go, must not meant to have been. No, that's not faith. Faith isn't believing in a moment. Faith is believing over a period of time. It's getting knocked down and getting back up again. It's getting knocked down and getting up again. That's what faith is. It's getting pushed back and going, having another go. The fact is, just because you've had a go for 12 times and it didn't work and you got rejected, doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It's the 13th time that you knock on that door, the bam, you got through. I've been in those situations so many times, but persistence, emotional resilience, getting up again, something that not a lot of people have got in this generation, but you have because you're a believer. You're a believer who's got inextinguishable faith. You got faith that can't be drowned out by your circumstances. You drown out your circumstances with your faith. And so we will reap our harvest in due season if we faint not, if we don't grow weary in well-doing, if we keep moving towards being a bigger person. Now listen, the flight 2024, it's landed, baby. It's landed. Flight 2025, I know it's a little late in the year because we're now in February, but I'm just going to preach it anyway. We've come out of 2024. We're in the transit hall going over to 2025. What are you going to do when you get to that carousel with the baggage on it? You walk right past it, people. Leave the baggage with 2024 back there. Because if you're hanging on to last year's baggage, you're not going to be able to appropriate what's happening in 2025. And you need to get an uncluttered life and move into the future with not all these weights on you from last year. You know, I travel quite a lot, and it's amazing how many people think you're the postman. They say, could you take this parcel for my friend in Sydney? Do you know how many people, like I do carry-on only. And I travel like 3 months at a time. My poor wife, I've managed to convince her to do it a couple times, which is like a major miracle for a woman. Because shoes. It's like a whole bag for the shoes. I said, well, wear the biggest ones and just put the other two pair in the bags and stuff everything you can inside the shoes. That's what we do, baby. And so I'm carrying her bag and my bag, and we just throw it in. And I walk past all those people at check-in. So good feeling. And then walk past the baggage carousel on the way out while people are waiting there. It takes 2 weeks out of my year if I have check-in baggage. I've calculated it. I went to one check-in lady. I said, I've got three bags out. Could you send this one to Fiji, this one to Paris, and that one to Auckland? And I know I'm going to Chicago. She said, sir, we can't do that. I said, why not? You did it last week. You don't lose any bags and all that. But the fact is, you got to leave the baggage behind. And not just your baggage, but sometimes people give you stuff. Sometimes people will give you their offense. Secondhand offense is worse than firsthand offense. You got no reason for it, but you're all riled up about what they did to my friend. Leave that baggage on carousel 2024. Have you got any explosives in your baggage? I mean, do you blow up? Is your anger under control? Have you got any sharp instruments in there? You got any corrosive instruments? Is there stuff in there? Got any batteries that are going to blow up the plane? Leave it all and walk out, and let's just get free from last year. Forgive everybody who did you any wrong last year. Just forgive them. Tear it up. They don't know your thing. Yeah, but you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what they did to me. Every one of us has got stuff that's been done to us. But do we want to be a victim or do we want to be a conqueror? So I thank God for them. They've helped me become bigger people. And I walk out of that airport into the next, and I'm not carrying anybody else's baggage. I'm not carrying my own personal explosives. I'm not carrying any corrosive stuff. I'm leaving it to go. And I'm getting on this next plane free and ready to take a hold of everything that God's got for me. Amen. So what God has got for you is bigger than where you are right now. The plan is bigger. God, oh my, look, friends, God has never done any miracle that's not huge. Right? It's always too big. It's always like a waste. Lord, thank you. You're pouring stuff into my cup. Oh, you're so good. Yeah, that's half full. It's good. It's beautiful. Lord, it's full. It's full. Lord, it's full. Lord, it's just spilling over. Lord, it's going over. It's everywhere. What are you doing? It's like a waste, God. He's super abundant. If he had sent those disciples out and said, put your nets down for a catch, and they go out and they throw the net out. They've been fishing all night and caught nothing. And they pull up two fish. I don't know, you go, miracle? Yeah. Nah. The net's full. It's breaking the net. That's how God does stuff. You want some wine at your wedding? He doesn't come up with half a dozen, you know, Hunter Valley Shirazes or anything. It's 180 gallons. Of wine, the best wine. I mean, what is wrong with you, Jesus? Who's going to drink that much wine at the start of a wedding? It's like, you are too good. Now, Eleanor got us to Ephesians 3:19 in that scripture, but Ephesians 3:20 says he will do exceedingly abundantly above everything that we ask or think. We have an exceedingly abundant God, but our thinking is so small sometimes. And we pride ourselves on it because we're Christians. As though Christians are small people. I know some Christians who are so small-minded, they can see through a keyhole with both eyes. Like, it's, you know, I'm more pious because I'm poor and I don't have a lot. As if, how are you going to help anybody? You got enough just for you. How's that going to buy a car for the single mother? How are you going to pay your brother's rent when he's lost his job? The guy found the guy half dead on the side of the road. The Samaritan found the guy half dead, and he took him to hospital, and he said, look, just send me the bill when you're done, no matter what it costs. I don't know if I could do that or if it, I don't know many people at all who could do that. How much is it going to cost? I don't know. But whatever it is, send me the bill. Just take him down there and look after him. God wants you to have an abundance mindset. I was out fishing with a friend recently and went out the continental shelf. We're out there fishing. We're pulling it, and I pull up one about this big, throw it in the sack. And he pulls up one. It's about that big. He throws it in the sack. And I'm not getting anything. And he gets a huge... It's this big. He looks at it, and he throws it back. I didn't say anything. I thought, that's a bit unusual. Anyway, we're still fishing. He gets another one. It's that big. He throws it in the sack. Gets another one. It's this big again. And he throws it back. I go, what are you doing? Cost a lot of money to come out of here. He said, well, you don't understand, Pastor. My frying pan's only this big. You're trying to fit what God wants to do for you into your little frying pan mindset. There has to come a point where we actually get enlarged, where we get bigger than what we've been before. And sometimes that means I got to mix it up with some bigger people. If I'm the biggest, smartest person in the room, I'm in the wrong room. I need to be in a room where I'm intimidated. Where I'm feeling like, wow, I got to grow. I got to get bigger. New Zealand. I love New Zealand. I'm a Kiwi, originally by birth. I'm Australian now. Yes. Amen. But you know, they won the America's Cup. Russell Coutts was the skipper. great sailor. That was amazing. So the next year, they said, look, we want to hold on to the cup. Russell, will you come and skip it for us again? He said, sure, here's the bill, $10 million. They said, whoa, what's that? He said, it's how much I want this year to keep the cup, be the skipper. He said, never are we going to pay you that much. Little brains. The Swiss, who don't even have a coastline, said, we'll pay it. They paid it. They won it. Brought $1 billion worth of economy to their country instead of to New Zealand again. Investment, just our little thinking can block our opportunities. When it comes our way, we go, oh, no, it can't fit in my frying pan. Can't fit in my life. We need to expand our thinking in 2025 because God wants to do things like he's never done before. I mean, you have to keep expanding or else you get crushed in this world. When I was a kid, you bought a pint of milk for 4 cents. And you used to leave the money in the bottle down at the gate. Can you imagine leaving money in your bottles outside your house these days? I mean, kids would just take it. It'd be gone. But then 4 cents. And I remember actually with, you know, not great deal of pride, 20 cents for a packet of Benson and Hedges. Some of you don't even know what that is. Yeah, you don't need to know. But you know, and like 40 cents a gallon for gas or, I mean, it was just, and so you got to keep adjusting because prices keep getting bigger. I mean, the first house we lived in, it was $11,000. It wouldn't even cover stamp duty, not even the agent's fee, not even the promotional material. It is ridiculous. But the first house we bought in Sydney was $135,000. It was like, oh, how am I going to stretch myself to do that? Amazing. Well, that's not even going to do your stamp duty these days. It is like if you don't grow bigger, life will crush you. You got to get bigger and say, it's okay, I can do this. I'm equal to this. Go buy a house this year. If you haven't got a house, don't be thinking, oh, I can't afford it on the Central Coast. You can. You got a God in heaven who has an endless supply. And if your eyes are up on him, he'll show you. He'll guide you. I've had to preach that so often in Sydney on the northern beaches because our prices just kept going like that. We've got all these young families. And I go and preach at a church out west sometimes and I'd see, oh, I know you, I know you, I know you. That all moved west. But now it just keeps getting bigger. If you keep trying to run away from it and not face your giants, they're going to make you small. Numbers 13, verse 33 says, when we saw the giants, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. Because we were like grasshoppers in their sight. So does a $4 million property make you feel like I'm unable to do that? I'm a grasshopper. Or can you actually say, you know what? I've got God with me and I'm in the majority. I've got the God of heaven and earth on my side. And if I can switch on my faith and start to say, yes, I can do it. I remember preaching like this so early in our church life in Sydney. Mark Kelsey was listening. He and his wife were sitting down there and they didn't have any money at all. And he turned around to his wife. He said, we're going to go buy a house. And she said, I love it when you talk like that. So they went out and they just took a step, looked at the house, they've somehow got $3,000 from somewhere, used that as a holding deposit, and then one thing followed another. But God doesn't move until you move. You got to take a step, and then God takes a step. And then you take a step, but it's that step of faith where you discover God. You will never find out if you can walk on water until you step out of the boat. Nobody think I'm telling you to go step out of a boat on water. But Peter would never have found out that God's alive and you can walk on water unless he had actually stepped out of that boat. So Isaiah 54, verse 1 and 2 says, sing, O barren, you who have not born, break forth into singing, cry aloud, you who have not labored with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. So this passage has helped me in many situations over the years, but I feel like right here at the early stage of 2025, we could say, you know what, there's a lot of resolutions people make. One of the best ones you could make is to spend time with God every morning, even if it's just 5 minutes. But you can do better than that. You'll find that 5 becomes 10. And then you'll get a hunger for the Bible, a hunger for the presence of God. And that will begin to expand you. Now this says, sing, O barren. So every one of us have barren moments in our circumstance. I personally worry about the kind of wilderness teaching where, oh, we're going through a wilderness and we're having barren years. I can't say in 53 years of following Jesus that I've ever felt I've had a wilderness year, because he's always enough. He's always more than any, to me, than anything he can do for me. So if God means more to you than what he can do for you, then you'll seek his face and you'll find him. If you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me, he says. And God himself is as rich an experience that you can have on this earth. There's not a richer, deeper, more incredible experience. So just to have that every day, to start out and say, to lift up my eyes, forget about social media, forget about the television, forget about, and even if I have to get up a bit earlier to beat the kids or whoever else is going to be up, and lift up my head and say, Lord, and to become aware of God in my life, that's going to expand me, because he's big. He's very, very big. He made this universe. There are more stars out there than grains of sand on every beach of the earth. More stars, more planets. In fact, for every one grain of sand, there are 1 billion planets. And yet the Bible says neither heaven nor the heavens of heavens can contain the Lord. We have a big God. He made us in his image. And the devil has somehow tried to limit you and make you think small, as though that's a good way to think. But fear stops us stepping out. Sometimes pride does. But if we can get those things under control and say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to look up and I expect you to guide me. I'm going to make a step towards my dream this year, because my due season is here. The things I've prayed for, I'm believing they're going to come to pass for my children, for my marriage, for my business, for whatever it is, my ministry, the call of God on my life. And so he says to this woman, this is what you got to do to switch on your faith. Sing, O barren. So when you're barren, when nothing much has been going on, the Lord says, sing. Sing today like you've got what you are hoping for tomorrow. How would you sing, barren woman, if you had a baby in your arms and it was yours? How would you sing? She said, I'd sing like this. I'd be crazy with praise. He says, well, get like that today. Sing today like you've got what you're believing for tomorrow. And you know what? As soon as you start singing, not just in church for 20 minutes, 30 minutes on a Sunday morning, but in your car, in the shower, that'll help you make it sound better. Wherever, have a song on there. Don't let the devil steal your song. Don't let your negative circumstances steal your song. Don't let your barrenness steal your song. Because as you sing, the Bible says you get filled with the Holy Spirit. You get a breakthrough in your spirit so that you get a breakthrough in your circumstances. So sometimes the circumstances drowned our spirit and blocked us off, and therefore we don't have a breakthrough out here. We're saying, God, why don't you do something? He says, why don't you do something? Just try singing. Praise is a weapon. Praise is a weapon that will scatter the enemy. And don't underestimate the power of praise. You got great worship in this church. Awesome praise. But the reason they sing those words over and over again, I know some people criticize that. I don't, because it gets stuck in my head. And when I'm out there on the motorbike, it's singing itself. It's songs that are from God will sing themselves in your heart, and that will keep you filled with the power of God. The devil doesn't want you filled with power. He wants you drained, exhausted, so you miss your due season. We shall reap in due season if we faint not. Let's not grow weary in well-doing. So we get exhausted because we're not tapping in to the energy. There's power coming into this building, but unless I actually plug in here, I'm not going to get any of it. There's power on the earth. There's power from God available. The way you plug in is with worship and with praise and with prayer, communing with Him. So as soon as you overcome the embarrassment or whatever it is, the fears of saying, God, I pray. And especially if you're a father and a husband in your house, you're like a priest and you command blessing on your home. Don't say, oh, that's my wife's job. You know, she's the spiritual one. She gets the kids down, the children. I just come along and throw them a tithe, and you know. No, you got power and authority in that house to actually stand, lift your hands, and speak blessing over all your kids. Even better with the two, as you say, hey, let's pray together and pronounce blessing over all of our children, over all of our home, over our finances. Sing, O barren, you who have not borne, break forth, that's the breakthrough. Cry aloud, that's the breakthrough. And then he says, enlarge the place of your tent. That's you. You're called a tabernacle. You're called a tent for the presence of God. You're a walking God unit. You're like the Ark of the Covenant. The cloud of God is traveling with you. But to contain him, to have him in our life, we got to get stretched. I don't know about you. I got stretch marks all over my spirit where God is stretched. And the way that he stretches us is he stretches your faith. Like you believe for something and then it doesn't happen. So he says, keep believing. Keep believing. Keep believing. And over a period of time, you get stretched. He puts one foot in the bottom of your heart and grabs the top and you go, ah! God, that hurts. Oh, I don't think I can take it anymore. He says, yeah, I know you can. I can. Oh, God, that really hurts. How long is this going to take? A little while. Oh, I can't take it anymore, God. Why did I ever become a Christian? Oh, God, I don't know. Oh, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. Lord, he says, just believe. Just believe. I can't. I don't know if I can keep going. I think you can. Oh, I feel like I'm having a baby. Oh, God. Oh, All right, Lord. I surrender. Ah, that's what I was waiting for. He lets it go, and you go, boom, boom, this big old heart now. And you can believe. Under any circumstances, you've been through a trial, you survived, you got through it. I know God will get us through. I know I'm going to get to the other side. Great faith comes from great trials. And you will find that some of you have been in trials this past year. Listen, your due season is coming. You don't stay in a valley forever. You don't stay, you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And you will come into a new day of greater blessing. Then it says, enlarge, let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. That means as the church gets bigger, I got to have the ability to have longer range relationships with people. I met somebody just in the last couple of years that I was running our church in Sydney, and this lady came up and I get in the foyer and say hi to people. And I said, hi, how are you? So nice to see you. You knew this is your first time? She said, oh, no, Pastor. I've been coming here 14 years. I said, oh, that's so good. She said, oh, don't worry about it. It's awesome. You know, I love our church. And she was deep, committed. But she had a long cord. She didn't need, she wasn't insecure. She was mature. She didn't need constant attention for her spiritual quality of life. To be a low maintenance believer is awesome from a pastor's point of view. Amen. Low maintenance, high producing. It's awesome. And so, because we're a team of soldiers. Some people think of the church as a hospital. I'm sorry, I do not. Nobody lives in a hospital. You visit it every now and then. But it's a life development center. It's a potential maximizing center. And so as you move into being a whole being, a human being who's not walking around saying, I'm so broken, I'm so messed up, I'm so, you know, I just am in need all the time. Actually get a different posture on the inside. How you're going to be in the future. That's how God's dealing with you today. And he sees you whole and strong, restored in the image of Jesus. As you get that image before you, you find you're able to lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Means I'm going to deepen my commitment. Today I'm just going to strengthen the stakes, because if the rope is longer, I know I need to drive it deeper. When the wind blows, you won't find me blowing in the wind. You'll find me in the ground. I'm not a tumbleweed Christian. I've never seen fruit on a tumbleweed just rolling around. But when you take root in the house of God and you strengthen your stakes, you find become fruitful, high-producing, pleasing to God. It's so fantastic to see all those wonderful people here that Pastor Chris was talking about who've been here since they were children, you know, since they're kids. It's this amazing thing all around the world. You know, just before I close here today, I'm wondering, there could be some of you who have actually never met Jesus, never asked the Lord to come into your life. I'd love to give you that opportunity and to pray for you here today. So in a couple minutes, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand and we'll pray for you. There may be some people here who, like, you've been away from God and it's time to come back. I want you to come back today. And so when I ask, I'd like you also to raise your hand. Then finally, there may be, I've met people who go to church, but they're not sure if they're going to heaven. Like, they hope they are, and they're good people, but they're not sure. And I'd like to see that assurance come into your heart today. So can I ask everybody to close your eyes? And if that's you, my friend, you've never asked Jesus to come into your life, or if you're coming back to Christ today, or if you're just not sure you're going to heaven, wherever you are in this meeting right now, can you put your hand in the air? Just raise it high. Thank you. Who else is there? Thanks. Thanks. Who else is there? Just raise your hand. Thank you, sir. I see your hand. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. I see your hands. Amen. Who else is there? Is there anybody else at all? Let me pray for you today before we make that decision. Anyone else? Lord Jesus, we praise you. Amen. Okay, guys, look this way. I'm gonna just do something that I don't always do, but I'd really like to pray for those guys personally who raised their hands. So when we all stand up, can you just come down the front here? I want to shake your hand and pray for you. So let's all stand up and welcome these guys as they come. Yeah, just come, sir. Yeah, just come. Hi. Don't embarrass you. Yeah, what's your name? George, yeah, so nice to meet you. Just stand there. Hi, buddy. What's your name? Ken, nice to meet you. This young lady, yeah, come down. Yeah. And there was another one, I thought, down there. I thought there was about five people who raised their hands. Hi, how are you? What's your name? Mia. That's a beautiful name. Just stand there. Yeah. Hi, what's your name? Abigail. That's a beautiful Bible name. Yeah. And is this your sister? That's your sister. Hi. Gloria. What a lovely name that is. Okay. We're just going to pray. I want you, everybody, can we close our eyes? Can you say these words to God after me? Dear God in heaven, I ask Jesus Christ to come into my life. I ask to be born again. I repent from sin. Forgive me. Receive me. Make me your child. Help me follow you. Thank you, God, for saving me. Amen. Amen. Lord, I pray for Abigail, that the Holy Spirit touch her today, and Gloria, that the anointing fall on her. Lord, I pray for Ken. Holy Spirit, touch today. Lord, touch Mia. The Holy Spirit, touch your life. It's Georgia, Lord God. Power of the Holy Spirit. The anointing. Give them peace. Power of God and the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give the Lord a great clap offering. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm sure you have something you want to do with these guys. Maybe after the service, we're going to talk to you. Thank you very much, everybody. What a delight to be in C3 Narara. God bless you. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.